Well, thanks for joining us here again at Calvary Temple Online. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10, book of Luke chapter 10. We're going to be looking there today. As you're turning there, I came across some memes that I want to share with you. It's kind of what I entitled Meme Time now, as I find these memes that I want to share with you. Now, these you're going to have to look at a little bit closer. It's not so much in the dialogue as you got to kind of really read the captioning and the picture. But this first one here, guy skiing down the hill, and the sign says, "You are here." If you look closely, you notice he is right at the edge of the cliff. Probably not a good place to be at that moment. You never want to be in that spot, right? This next one here, I think we can all relate to. You know, not quite sure what to do right now. Do not follow. What do you do there when you got two signs telling you the same, you know, two different things that contradicts one another, really? For those of us that are a little bit older, you remember this. This is the original iPad. You know, now all these kids have these iPads, but this was the original iPad. This is what we grew up with, right? Right? And speaking of that and getting older, you know, 4,000 years and we're back to the same language, right? I mean, we're using pictures now for words, again, just like they did 4,000 years ago. And I had to share this one just because it's cute. I hope you can make it out well. It's the dog is sitting in the little armrest of the car, this little puppy is, and he's just snoozing away. I thought that was pretty cute, so I thought I needed to share that. Anyway, let's get into it today. Before we do, let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, again, I thank you today for the opportunity we have to open up your word, to learn more about you, and to learn how that we can be more like you in every way, to learn the things that are important, the things that we need to put first, the things that we need to prioritize in our life. So Lord, today open our spirits to hear and receive from you and to put those things into practice. And we give you the praise and glory for it in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is week three of a series entitled A Fresh Start. A Fresh Start. We're really talking about how to push the reset button on your life. Now, in week number one, we talked about how, you know, starting again in any area of your life is really a matter of going out into the deep, of dreaming big, of going deep, and then casting your net again and again and again until God fills it to overflowing. You see, if you want to create a lasting change in your life, you have to have the courage to try one more time, to not give up, to keep going at it. Now, last week, we talked about how starting over means that you close the door, and in fact, really, it's better if you slam the door on that part of your past that you are ready to leave behind. You know, you make the decision that you need to make. You break the ties you need to break. You take the steps that you need to take. Well, today, we're going to talk about getting first things first, about prioritizing your life. Now, we're going to look at a story in which Jesus visited the home of a couple of friends in a little town called Bethany. Now, during his visit, two important things were taking place, but one was more important than the other. Now, the friends that Jesus was visiting were two sisters named Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is the one that Jesus raised from the dead. Now, what we can read into the gospel narratives is that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were dear friends of Jesus, and he liked to visit them on occasion, you know, for a time of rest and relaxation. Now, clearly, having a guest in your home is a special event. I mean, especially at this time in history. In the first century, such a guest would possibly actually arrive unannounced. You know, it's not like they could call ahead, right? No cell phones, no way of doing that. And the rules of hospitality actually dictated that you receive your visitor, your guest, with honor. You let them in. You let them come and wash their feet when they enter into your home. Then you give them a place to rest. You prepare a meal for them. You even invite the rest of the neighborhood many times over, and you make kind of a party out of it. Now, imagine that this guest doesn't show up alone, though. He shows up with at least 12 of his friends. Now, imagine how that would be. You know, 13 people at least show up at your door unannounced, and they say to you, "Hey, do you mind if we hang out here for a couple of days?" And now, imagine that this was not just any guest. I mean, it's Jesus. You're thrilled that they're there, but oh my goodness, you've got a lot of things to get done in a short amount of time. I mean, think about how that you would want everything to be perfect in every way, because after all, it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus. Now, that's what, you know, that's what's going through Martha's mind. She was scrambling to get everything done, scrambling to get, you know, the food prepared, scrambling to get the guest room ready. I mean, there is no doubt she is in a, got a very hectic pace, and it's a stressful situation for her, right? And the problem was compounded by the fact that her sister, who should be doing half of what needs to be done, she's nowhere to be found. Now, can you imagine Martha? She's looking all over the house for her sister Mary. You know, is she in the dining room? No. Is she in the kitchen? No. Is she out in the garden? No. Is she in the barn? No. Is she in the guest room? I mean, where could she be? And finally, Martha goes into the courtyard area of their home where they often would socialize out in the open air. And there Jesus has gathered with his disciples and a few others from the community who've all come to hear him teach in this informal setting. Maybe there was 20, 25 in the group. Probably most of them, if not all of them, are men. And there, sitting in the front row among the guests, was her sister Mary, with her eyes focused on Jesus as she's hanging on every word that he spoke. Now, when Martha saw this, she lost it. I mean, this was too much. And she interrupted Jesus mid-sentence, and she said, "Excuse me, Jesus, I'm gonna let you finish. But doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." I mean, can you imagine this response? I know I can, from experience anyway. It's easy to slip into that martyr syndrome and start telling yourself that you're the only one who does anything. You know, that you're the only one who cares, that it's all on you. You've got it all on your shoulders. I've said something similar to what Martha said, you know, not shaking a spoon, but, you know, shaking my fist and saying, "You know what, God, don't you care that I work harder than anybody else for less than anybody else, and so that everybody can enjoy the fruits of my labor, and usually nobody cares or even notices? Don't you care, God?" Now, let me make it clear. I didn't say I was right to feel this way, but I felt that way a time or two. In fact, every pastor I know has felt it. Every leader that I know has felt it. Every parent has felt it. Every boss has felt it. And many employees have felt it. It's a martyr syndrome, a poor, poor, pitiful me syndrome. And when I start feeling that way, it usually means that there's something wrong with the way my entire approach is and the list of my priorities. Now, Martha was doing things that needed to be done. Now, obviously, you know, when you've got people in your home, these guests come, they need to eat. They need a place to sit. They need a place to rest. It's not that she was wasting her time on foolish things. She had the right idea. But listen to what Jesus said to her in verse 41. The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha." Now, let me interject something here. When you consider that every manuscript was written by hand on a limited space of a scroll, you can be sure that every word of the Gospels were meticulously chosen for maximum effect. Now, in ancient documents, you don't find scenes where, you know, it says something like, "Well, Maximus walks into the room and said, 'Hey, what's up?' And Flavius said, 'Not much, what's up with you?' And Maximus said, 'Not much, what do you want to do today?' And Flavius said, 'I don't know, what do you want to do today?' And Maximus said, 'I don't know, let's go ask Octavius.' Hey, Octavius." No, you never read those kind of conversations in ancient manuscripts because they had to economize with their words. I mean, a scroll was only so long, and in the case of the book of Luke here, it takes up an entire scroll. And so I find it interesting that in this conversation, Luke makes it a point to let us know that Jesus said her name twice. He said, "Martha, Martha." Now, every time I read this story, I stop and think about the fact that he said her name twice. You know, saying her name twice is almost like code for, "You just don't get it, do you?" And you know, every time that I find myself in a poor, poor, pitiful me state of mind, I can hear Jesus saying, "Scott, Scott, you just don't get it, do you?" Jesus said Martha's name twice. And then he says, "You're worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, when Jesus said only one thing is necessary, I want you to know he wasn't saying don't worry about cleaning the house or preparing a meal or taking care of your guests because that's not important. No, he was saying only one thing really matters. And this one thing supersedes everything else. What's the one thing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and spending time in his presence. You know, if you can assimilate this spiritual truth into your daily walk, you will revitalize your spiritual life and your relationship with God. In fact, your relationship with others and the way that you pursue life's purpose. You know, here's the lesson to learn. Jesus wants to be loved before he wants to be served. He wants to be loved before he wants to be served. Before you do anything for God publicly, he first wants to fellowship with you privately. Now, Jesus wasn't saying, Martha, don't get the house ready. We don't need you to cook or clean. He was saying, Martha, I just got here. Let the details wait for a few minutes. You can worry about the meal later. Worry about getting the sheets on the beds later. Sit down with me. Let's enjoy each other's company. You know, we've been talking about a fresh start, you know, about starting over, rebooting your life, kind of like you reboot a computer. Have you ever had to do that? I mean, the computer locks up, so you hit the Control-Alt-Delete button and shut it down and starts back up, runs a little bit better, at least for a while. You know, I recently had an issue come up with my laptop. My laptop isn't new. I actually tend to get attached to computers and keep them until they're dreadfully out of date or they just die. But anyway, I've had this one for a while now, and my laptop probably is somewhat on its last leg. It's becoming increasingly uncooperative as well. But recently I had a problem that sometimes when I open my Bible study app, the computer would lock up. Now this particular app's been around for a while, and so, you know, I thought, that's a shame, man. I hate to lose this Bible study program after so many years of using it. And then I began to wonder, well, wait a minute, why does the program crash the computer only some of the time and not all the time? Well, after testing a little bit, I finally figured out that it depends on how many other apps that I have open at once. If I open the Bible study program first, it opens just fine. But if I already have maybe a web browser and Microsoft Word or another program open, the Bible study app will crash. And I thought, you know, maybe that's God's way of telling me, before you do anything else, start with the Bible. Get into my word before you get into Microsoft Word. You know what? That's a good lesson for every believer to learn. First things first. Before you do anything else, you get alone with God. He wants your companionship before he wants your service. You know, before you serve him publicly, he wants to fellowship with you privately. The principle of first things first works in your spiritual life, but it also works in your other relationships as well. And so today I want to spend just a few minutes talking about nailing down your priorities. Now, in order to do this, there are three tests that you need to give yourself. First of all, number one, the stress test. The stress test. Now, stress is a good indicator that your priorities are out of balance. If you always feel overwhelmed and overloaded, it's a pretty good indication that you got some things on your plate that don't belong there. Jesus never said, I've come to give you stress and turmoil. No, he said, I come that you can have peace. In me, you'll find peace. He never said, I've come to give you a life of frustration. No, he said, I've come to give you a life to the fullest. And he never said, I come to give you more than you can possibly get done every day of your life. No, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In me, you'll find rest. Now listen, if you're running full speed ahead every day and you are constantly behind on everything that you do, you got some things on your schedule that shouldn't be there. And I want you to know that I speak this from experience. Many times in the course of my ministry, I've found myself in this position, just completely overloaded, overwhelmed, feeling like I am the only one in the kitchen trying to get things ready while everybody else is socializing in the courtyard. You know, working with one deadline after another hanging over my head and not nearly enough hours in the day to get everything done. Now, my typical response when I find myself in this situation has always been just to put in more hours. I would just tell myself, you know, these long days are just temporary, you know, just maybe a week or two until I get caught up. The problem is that if you've got things on your plate that shouldn't be there, you never get caught up. Instead, when you do too much work for too much time, your efficiency bottoms out and the quality of your work suffers, and you're typically too tired to tell it. Now, I'm not talking about having a busy day here and there. I'm talking about really a pattern of always being behind and always being stressed about it. And if this is what your life has become, let it be a wake-up call, because this is not what Jesus had in mind for you. Start asking yourself, what needs to go? What needs to change? What needs to stop? Now, let me clarify here that I'm not talking about you stopping your prayer time or your Bible reading time or your church attendance. Those things will always be and are always your first priority. They should always take first place in your life. I'm referring to the busyness of life outside of your relationship with God. Now, that brings me to the second test that you need to give yourself, and that is number two, the priority test. The priority test. Jesus said to Martha in verse 41 and 42, he said, "You're worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is necessary." You see, Jesus was saying to Martha, in a gentle way, he's saying, "Martha, it's time for a priority check. What matters most, setting a perfect table or spending time with me?" Stephen Covey tells a story that demonstrates the importance of keeping the first things first. He saw it at a seminar, actually. The leader showed the audience an empty, wide-mouthed gallon jar, and then he put as many rocks in the jar as would fit. And then he asked the crowd, "Is this container full?" And, of course, everyone said, "Yes." Well, the leader then poured some gravel into the jar, filling up the crevices between the big rocks, and he asked again, "Is it full?" Now, they're beginning to catch on at this point, and most of them said, "Probably not." Next, he poured some sand into the jar. "Now, is it full?" he asked. And the crowd had learned their lesson, and in unison, they shouted back, "No!" And they were right. And then he filled the jar with water. Now, later in the seminar leader said this, "What's the point here?" Somebody said, "Well, there are gaps, and if you really work at it, you can always fit more into your life." The seminar leader said, "No, that's not the point. The point is this. If you hadn't put the big rocks in first, you would have never gotten them in." He's saying, make sure you do the big stuff first. You know, when I'm out of balance, my approach is oftentimes the opposite. I tend to do the nagging little things first, trying to get them out of the way so I can focus on job one. The problem is the nagging little details always take more time than you think that they would. And the truth is, most of them can wait. You know, the things in life that are most important, they can't wait. So do them first. You know, like prayer, Bible reading, church attendance, things like that. You know, there's a story about Charles M. Schwab. This is the steel tycoon, not the discount broker. But Charles Schwab and a business consultant named Ivy Lee. Now, the story goes that Schwab came to Lee for advice on how to increase his productivity and profitability. Now, Lee's advice was simple. He said, "Each day, write down the five most important tasks for you to do today, and then do each task one by one. Don't start task two until you complete task one, and then so on." Ivy Lee then told Schwab that he wouldn't invoice him for the consultation here. He said, "You know what? Try this advice for a while and pay what it's worth to you." 6 weeks later, Charles Schwab sent Ivy Lee a check for $25,000. Now, you got to remember, that was back in the early 19th century. These were 19th century dollars, which was the equivalent of probably over $500,000 today. Schwab later said this, "This is the most practical lesson I've ever learned." This is why I encourage people to have their devotional first thing in the morning before you do anything else, to make sure you start off in God's presence. You know, if exercising is important to you, do that second. Do a priority check and make sure that you take care of the big rocks first. Then thirdly, you need to, number three, take the reward test. You take the reward test. Jesus said in verse 42, "Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her." Do you know how to determine your priorities in life? You base it on what's going to last the longest, What's going to give you the biggest payoff? You know, recently a guy told me this story. He said, I came home from work yesterday and I saw the most amazing thing. What'd you see? I asked him. He said, well, I pulled into the garage and I came into the house through the laundry room, and the first thing I saw was a huge pile of laundry on the floor. I stepped over it and I walked into the kitchen. The next thing that I saw was a huge stack of dishes in the sink. Well, when I went into the living room, I found my wife sitting on the floor wearing sweatpants and my Chiefs jersey with couch pillows for shoulder pads and black stripes under her eyes. And my four-year-old son was on her lap wearing his sweatpants and his Chiefs jerseys and fake shoulder pads and eye black, and they were looking at a book. She said, oh, sorry about the mess, honey. We just had a football game and now we're reading a story. And this guy said, you know, I'm not used to this. He said, growing up, our house was spotless. But if I ever wanted my parents' attention, Dad was always busy in the garage and Mom was always busy in the kitchen, and it was up to me to entertain myself. And then he said this. He said, I thank God that I married someone who can leave dishes in the sink while she plays with our son. You see, this guy's wife is investing something in their son that will last this little boy's entire life. You know, she passes the rewards test. She understands what really matters. Now, obviously, at some point, you need to do the dishes and the laundry and mow the yard and change the oil in the car. I mean, it has to be done at some time. So when do you do it? After you've done what really matters, what really lasts, you know, what pays the biggest dividends. Now, I have no doubt that every little boy and girl in the world would say that they would rather play a game with Mom and Dad than have a clean kitchen. And that's because our relationship with God and our relationship with one another all works by the same rule, and that is love first, serve second. Love first, serve second. You know, in closing, if you're overwhelmed to the point that you need to hit the reset button on your life, you can do it. But you'll just keep getting locked up if you don't open the apps in the correct order. To keep your life moving in the right direction, you need to nail down this question of first things first, of priorities in your life. In your spiritual life, that's easy to determine. Jesus wants you to serve him, no question about it, but he also wants you to serve him after you fellowship with him, after spending time in his presence. Now, the rule for living a life in God is now and always will be to love first and serve second. And I would say the same rule applies to your marriage, it applies to your children, it applies to every relationship that matters. You love first, serve second. Make it a habit to sit down and sit still in the presence of Jesus every day of your life, spending some time in prayer, some time in reading the Word of God, and just fellowship with him every day. If you put this at the top of your list, you're going to find that the order of the other apps in your life will fall into place. Husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, if you'll do this with one another and with your children every day, just to sit and enjoy each other's company for a few minutes, I think you'll find the payoff is worth the investment. You love first and serve second. Putting first things first. You know, speaking of putting first things first, maybe today you've never opened your heart or life to receive Jesus Christ. I want you to know a relationship with God is the most important thing you'll ever do. That's putting first things first. It's number one in your life. And if it's not, and I want to encourage you, it needs to be. And if you want to make it that way today, it's very simple. You just say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And starting right here, right now, I want to love you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer in the comment section, say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer, and because I want to just rejoice. I want to celebrate with you and just pray that God will continue to grow in that relationship with you. You know, for us today, though, we need that reminder. You know, Martha, she wasn't doing anything necessarily wrong, but she had her priorities a little out of whack. And many times we're the same way. We get our priorities a little out. We're not putting the first things first. And we need to remember, you love first, you serve second. Love first, serve second. So let's close by asking God to help us to make sure that we get our priorities in the right order and doing the first things first. Lord, thank you so much today that you love us first and foremost. And Lord, you've called us into a relationship with you. So help us to make sure we get those priorities straight, where we love first and we serve second. Lord, the way we show our love is through serving you. But God, we need to just feel that love and express that love first. Lord, that works in every relationship. So help us in all of our relationships to prioritize, to put the first things first in our life, the things that will last, the things that bring the most reward, that we put those things first and foremost, that we'll put those big rocks in first, the big things that we need to do first and focus on those. Lord, you'll help us to take care of the rest. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for this example that you give to us in this passage of scripture. Help us to apply it to our life. We give you the praise and glory and all the honor for it as you're giving us a fresh start here in 2023 in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We look forward to connecting with you again next week.